Saturday of the Christmas octave, 2022. Here it is, the last day of 2022, and the church offers us the prologue to John's Gospel as our reading. We could say that the church is giving us the depth dimension of the nativity narratives in Matthew and Luke. Both the birth stories and the hymn that is at the origin of the prologue are products of the meditation of early Christians on the implications of Jesus' resurrection. When early Christians gathered for liturgy and engaged in personal prayer, they discovered that they were being drawn interiorly to relate to the risen Jesus as they relate to God, offering themselves totally to the risen one. And over time, they realized that this worship of Jesus was not idolatrous. That is, it did not bring forth the fruits of idolatry, deadly conflict among the members, and the dehumanization of those worshiping a false god. On the contrary, they experienced that they were receiving from Jesus the two fundamental gifts that only God can give: participation in divine life and the forgiveness of sin, which blocks that participation. This religious experience blew their minds. Jesus clearly wasn't God the Father, to whom Jesus prayed as to another, yet they were relating to Jesus as they were accustomed to relate to the God of Israel. They drew on a lot of traditions to try to articulate something about this extraordinary kind of religious experience. One tradition was the wisdom tradition from the Old Testament, which spoke about a reality that was closely associated with God and involved in God's creative and saving activities in the world. In the Old Testament, wisdom was a personification of God's activity on behalf of God's people, not an actually subsisting being alongside God, as it were. But once Christians began to discern, based on their religious experience, that the risen Jesus was divine, but somehow distinct from the one Jesus called Abba, they started referring to the risen one as God the Father's wise and provident self-utterance into the world, God's wisdom, God's word. One of the most important statements in all the New Testament is found in this prologue: "And the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us," or as another translation rightfully puts it, "pitched its tent among us." Not only is this a full statement of the incarnation, but the language makes clear that the Word is divine wisdom, since in the Old Testament, it is wisdom that loves to pitch its tent among human beings. On this last day of the year, the gospel invites us to drink in the fundamental good news that the world and our lives are saturated with God's love and light. And for that reason, no human situation, no matter how dark and problematic, can be simply written off as hopeless or barren or worthless or utterly meaningless, even if we are tempted to come up with ultimate verdicts like that. The good news is that there is always possibility in any situation, any human situation, provided that we reach out to the infinite mystery and love and life, whom we call God.